Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews. We're like a book club for people hate reading. This month's theme, we're doing horror, so James picked the movie Cabin in the Woods. We bring you movie news. And this week we have Jonathan Charney, James Hello. Stevens, Ryan Preston.
And the old guy's here.
So who has the description of this movie?
So five friends go for a break at a remote cabin in the woods where they get more than they bargain for. Yeah. Together, they must discover the truth behind the cabin in the woods.
So, I want to talk about the cast, because the cast is interesting. You have Chris Hemsworth, who is obviously Thor, unless you've been living under a rock. Anna Hutchinson, Jules, who is in Power Rangers Jungle Fury.
Ooh.
I can add a couple. Jesse Williams plays in Grey's Anatomy, plays the doctor.
Frank Cans was from The Village.
Amy Acker. Yep. She is. She played Lynn. She is on Person of Interest. She is Root.
And Kristen Connolly is on the show that we're watching right now.
House of Cards.
Yeah.
And Richard Jenkins, who played Sitters, was on Jack Reacher 2012. So this has an interesting cast. It does have a Power Ranger in a very interesting position.
So, you know, I just want to throw this out. Did you guys look at the reviews on IMDb?
Yes.
Oh, man.
It has a
7-0. They are mean.
You really surprised by that?
Yeah.
Oh, man. No, like, the one that I love is, if you look down, there's Aaron O'Shea. I don't know. That's the name he picked. But I love his title. Did you see the film I saw? And he gives it a 10 out of a 10.
Wow.
But I gotta go there, and I say I've seen a lot of horror. By Ryan, I've seen a lot of horrible horror, and these people do not know what horrible horror films are.
No
idea whatsoever.
And the reason why I picked this one
kill the stream.
Is because, as far as I'm concerned, this is top of the line horror.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's aware of the fact that. It's got to be funny. I love the fact that they brought out Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah.
And backed me up on the line that I've been saying forever, which was whoever shows her tits first, she dies first. She goes, you know, the horror, she dies first.
Yeah.
You know, and I love the fact that it was aware of the stupidity of horror films and had fun with it.
Yeah. There's
many a thing that I love about this movie.
Had you seen it before?
When you picked it.
Had you seen it before?
I saw it once before. The one thing that I sort of picked up on at the end of watching it this time was it basically offered an excuse or a reason for every other horror movie ever.
Yeah.
In as much as it all could have been sort of part of this
ritual,
this keeping the demons at bay thing.
Yeah.
So I had never seen this movie before, and it starts off, and I start looking at all the cliche scenes and dialogue and everything. I go, oh, really? Are we really going to watch this? Is this really going to be like that? And then, you know, as it progresses, it obviously gets really good.
Oh, it does.
But,
it was really
funny, though. That was my reaction.
See, as soon as I saw who this was written by, I knew what you were getting. I knew exactly what I was getting.
Yeah.
It's Joss Whedon.
See, I didn't.
Yeah.
I was going to get into a Joss Whedon. I mean, because I know him from Buffy. I didn't know exactly how he was going to do, like horror.
I thought that it fit in line with him. I really did, because it made a lot of sense when I finally looked, who wrote it.
And the thing is,
it has kind of a goofy sensibility to it, which I think most of his stuff kind of does in some way.
I saw this movie, I think, last year around summertime, the first time. And it was just kind of just a random pick for me, because I have been staying away from horror.
Hmm.
Because I know where it's gone. I've watched some of the Paranormal Activities. If I get in the mood, I'll just watch one. But I finally was like, all right, you know what? I've heard really mixed things about this one, and I didn't read the storyline or anything about it. I just stuck it on, and they set out Josh Whedon and I gotta pull it up, and I'm looking at the wrong app. Josh Whedon and Drew Goddard. Mm-hmm. They did a very interesting thing in the beginning, is when they put that in there and they're standing around the water cooler, just kind of talking about their weekend and doing that whole thing. They put that scene in deliberately so that people who walked into the theater thought they walked into the wrong film.
Hmm. That totally fits with what I saw when I first started the movie.
And I'm like,
that was where I went.
You know, I was like, wait a minute.
Almost, it was almost the switch of From Dusk Till Dawn. Where
Oh, yeah. I think they probably stole it from there, too.
Yeah, maybe.
I was kind of wondering if I got Rickrolled there for a second.
But then when the movie started and they're all kind of hanging out in the door room and all that stuff, and I'm like, oh, it's going to be one of these. And then they had the guy pull up and the Bond guy. But where I knew it switched and I knew it got awesome was when you ran into Mordecai.
Mm-hmm. Mordecai?
The guy at the gas station.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
As soon as they ran into that guy, I'm like, I am going to like this film. And then the bird runs into the wall and dies. I'm like, this film is going to be great.
That right there.
The first time it cuts into the control room.
Yeah.
And you sort of see, and now all of a sudden I'm watching Office Space.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I knew as soon as I saw the wall that was going to be goofy besides Joss Whedon. And as soon as I saw the control thing, it was like,
yeah,
I was totally thrown off with the control room and what was going on.
Did you watch it with him?
We were watching it together. He's like, what the hell, is this the right movie? It's like, it's gotta be.
I'm going, really? And they're, you know, there's a big operation and they're celebrating these people dying and getting beat up and everything. I mean, I'm just going, I'm totally confused.
I just had so much fun laughing, and I laughed out loud multiple times when they had Mordecai on speaker.
Yeah.
And he's sitting in, the blood of the virgin will run red. And they're just like busting him. He's like, wait a minute. Am I on speaker?
Yeah.
Here, let me fix that.
You know, I hate being on speaker.
And one of my favorite parts is when Marty showed up with the bong. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, that's got to be a real product. Because I know a lot of people would be like, I want it.
Pretty cool.
But it was a $5,000 prop.
But Ryan is right. It's the fact that they take it and they explain away basically all the other horror films that have gone before.
Oh man, I'm never gonna see a mermaid.
Or merman.
Close enough.
And one of the ones that they threw in was Kevin. Did you know that there was a little throw out to Sin City?
Oh, the Elijah Woods character?
Elijah Woods character. There was a Kevin on the board, on the betting board.
Oh, wow.
Kevin was on there, and somebody found it in trivia and posted it. And I'm like, wow, they even went up to that date of including all these characters that have been in horror films and all these other little things.
So what are the redneck zombies from, exactly?
You know, I think that might be from Redneck Zombies. I'm kidding.
But it's missing the fat guy.
Yeah,
but Redneck Zombies by Troma.
I remember Jen watched this film with me, and she got to the point of where Connolly's character was on the dock getting beat up by the guy, and you know, it's kind of like the movie could wrap up right there. It could have, but I love the fact they kept going. That really made the film for me.
This movie, it paid off about 7 times in a row.
Yeah, but I was going to point out...
I can't remember the last time I stood up and, like, cheered at a horror movie. I was having just as much fun, you know, as the beginning of the guys. Obviously, the best payoff of the movie was the merman.
Yeah.
And I love the guy who used that bear trap.
Yeah.
Yeah. The guy.
Well, what I was going to say is Jen was like, this is a stupid movie. And I had to pause it for some reason right at that part. And I said, I looked at her, I said, it's not done yet.
Yeah.
And so when we finished the film, and this is surprising because people out there, we give spoilers, so I'm just going to spoil it for you. Everybody dies.
Literally everybody. The whole freaking planet.
Everybody dies.
Ultimate spoiler.
She looked over at me and goes, okay, it's not a completely stupid movie. So for my wife, that's saying a lot. Came back and said that because it redeems itself.
One of the most uncomfortable scenes in about any movie I've ever seen was Jules make out with a wolf head.
Yes. Yeah, that was uncomfortable.
I'm sorry.
That was uncomfortable for everyone.
It's like...
And I love the setup for it, though, because she's just walking and talking to, and it's like, seriously, that's way more into a bed or a dare or whatever than anybody's in real life would do.
One of those things I've done without.
And a little bit of trivia for you. The wolf head's tongue was made of silicone and was removable.
And it was sprinkled with sugar to make it a little more comfortable palatable. For her. Yeah, palatable for her right, to do okay. the scene.
So you think, what's worse, kissing that or being a Power Ranger?
Depends on which generation of a Power Ranger.
Yeah,
Jungle Fury.
I think this is probably.
That's probably more uncomfortable, the Jungle Fury.
So check this out, guys. I hope I don't break up during this, but I found a list of the possible choices on the betting board.
Oh, awesome.
Okay, so this is it. This is what it was. Werewolf, alien beast, mutants, wraiths, zombies, reptilius, clowns, witches, sexy witches, demons, hell lord, angry molesting tree, giant snake, deadites from Evil Dead, mummy, the bride, the scarecrow folk, snowman, dragon bat, vampires, dismemberment goblins, sugar plum fairy, the reanimated, hell yeah, the unicorn, goddamn, I love that unicorn.
Yes, yeah. I love
Chiron, that. Sasquatch, Wendigo slash Yeti.
Wow.
Take your pick. Dolls. Zombie redneck torture family, the doctors, jack-o'-lantern, giant, and twins and Kevin.
Wow. You know, that is an...
That's a good
list. Love the detail they put into that, and they don't just have, like he pointed out to them, we have zombies, and then we have zombie torture zombie family.
Yeah.
Zombie redneck torture family. There is a difference.
And I think what we said earlier was perfect, because this was like every cliche, because when the stoner guy's like, don't read the Latin, and then she reads it, and he's like, you shouldn't read the Latin.
Well, that was my favorite thing was, and I got to say this, because there's so many, like, you always get some type of drug pusher or some type of alcoholic, some person that is addicted to something in pretty much every horror film.
And half the time they seem to last longer than they should.
Yeah, and I like the fact that they were like, they put some type of drug in everything, and they try to lace his weed with it, and yeah, it didn't work.
Didn't work.
I really want that guy's coffee cup bong.
Yeah. Oh, do you want to know about the thermo coffee mug / bong? Was a fully functional mug and bomb as portrayed in the film, the prototype of which cost $5,000 to make.
Holy shit, that's awesome.
the first time
just
I saw
a little bit of info.
Thought about you.
When I saw that, like I said earlier, I'm like, that's awesome. I know a few people who would love that. I would if you could buy it.
Yeah, you can. It's probably going to cost you around $8,000.
Well, really? I mean, if it was $200, I'd do it just for the random.
Yeah, we could ask the R&D Savage was $5,000. I'm sure they're not going to sell it for that much.
Now, the thing that really, I brought up in the beginning. Oh, there we go. Okay, I had the wrong tab open.
Don't do that.
Is it got bashed quite a bit on IMDb by the users, and I really want to. And the same question I have is the one that the user guy said is, did you guys see the same film I saw? Because I don't know what these people were expecting.
I saw an interesting little fact that it was something like 45 minutes before the first kill of the movie.
Right.
So it's a lot of setup, but it pays off so well. And it was almost a throwback to the bait and switch of old horror movies. The setup being the key part. We're gonna make you feel like this is spring break of a movie, and then everything's gonna. It just makes the horror that much worse, you know.
Yeah, and this is really what I want. This is one that I'm gonna read. This is somebody that put it up like right after its release in 2012. Said, is this some kind of joke? Are there cameras that filming people's reactions and laughing at them, or what? It was awful. It was neither scary nor funny. I hated myself that I didn't leave the theater after the first 15 minutes. Only scary and the best scene of the movie was the guy appeared suddenly at the old gas station. The movie is that bad. Too bad I can't rate it less than a one. Unless you're from the new generation who loves nonsense, bloody scenes, and find them funny, and somehow scary. Stay away from this movie.
Yeah, well, I actually, James is right. There is so many people bashing
the
this
thing
movie.
That I don't think they get is this is a satirical film.
Well, this is kind of like horror. I wonder if the same.
Yeah,
I wonder if it's the same people that love like Sam Raimi's Army of Darkness or with Dead Alive. I mean, there's a lot of these horror movies that poke fun at other horror movies.
Yeah, but.
I mean, I think this one's a little more extreme, but I kind of think that, you know, Army of Darkness and all that, you know, Evil Dead did the same thing.
Yeah. No,
I mean, I don't think it's even more extreme. I think it's almost mainstream in the type of horror that it is. I mean, in the terms of the torture porn that started to come out lately, you know, between the Hostel and Saw movies and shit.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's not a horror. That's just who can creep everybody out the most.
Yeah. Or you get the human centipede.
You have the juxtaposition of the beginning of this movie with the last half of this movie, and then next pays it off with this huge rampage of every monster you've ever seen, including a unicorn. I mean, how do you not like just clap at the end of this movie watching it in your room on Netflix?
I actually think that was my favorite scene when they like saw the unicorn? That, when they went into the room and they saw that big button that was Purge.
Yeah.
And as soon as they saw them, like, okay, this is going to be one of the best parts of the movie.
Yep.
Then you saw, you know, I swear you saw, not Kara, what's the chick?
Connolly.
The chick who stabbed someone like 47 times.
Oh, yeah, smile.
Yeah, you saw all sorts of amazing horror movies and dragons. Like, oh, this is awesome.
See, now, my favorite scene of the entire film is when they're in that room. And they've seen the blood splatter and everything going on. And then you see the guys come around the corner. Oh, shit. And then there's more gunfire and blood splattering. And then you hear the ding and the doors open again. And it happens again. Yeah. It's like just awesomeness.
That was really well done.
Joss Whedon managed to Avengers this movie.
And I would say this was the perfect length. I actually think they could.
Agree.
I don't think they could have made this any longer. I don't think they could have made it shorter. It's the first movie I've seen in a while that I actually think was perfect.
Yeah.
Like dead on lengthwise.
And I mean, the ending is so great. You know, they're sitting there and she's like, I'm sorry I shot you.
I'm sorry I ended the world.
And then it's like.
Who would have believed it? I would have been the same way.
And I love the giant hand. Yeah. I love the end, though. The giant hand. Wham!
So, you know what? And I love the spitefulness of just like no, you know what? You put us through this. I don't. Fuck you, despite the end of the world.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Killing Sigourney Weaver at the end. And I love the fact that Sigourney Weaver made a cameo in this.
Yes.
Come on. She was like the original girl that everybody was fawning over from Halloween way back when.
That's the person.
You're right. Yes, but Aliens.
Yes. Aliens.
That's what I meant.
She's not the Scream
Halloween.
Queen.
Yeah, not the Halloween girl, but the
you're
Aliens
Jamie
girl.
Lee
yes,
Curtis.
That is what. But Sigourney Weaver was still, for that horror film, everybody was over her and wanted her and, ooh, she's hot, blah, blah, blah.
So what do you give the movie?
You know, I'm going to give it a 4.5. It's not completely a 5, but it's almost there.
So Ryan,
I almost want to give it a 5, but it's just I just don't feel there.
Ryan?
5. It's a perfect movie.
So
I recommend my parents to watch this movie.
Yeah.
You're going to? You did.
I will. I totally am. I'm going to call my dad and be like, hey, you see the movie called Cabin in the Woods? Just check it out. Don't look it up.
You get a report back, and if they actually watch that,
oh, his dad will love it.
I want to hear back. And so,
Rob? I don't know. See, because it doesn't. They'll love it if they stay till the end, but that first moment, you know what I mean? When what's her name? Gets her head cut off.
Oh yeah,
that's a jarring moment.
It is.
Rob,
I'm gonna give it a 4. I thought it. I really had fun with the movie.
Really impressive from this guy for a horror.
It is. it is really impressive. So I liked it. You know, it was fun. What a terrible thing to say about a horror movie.
It was enjoyable.
It was fun. I liked it.
At least it wasn't torture porn. I give this a 3.5 out of 5.
Whoa, there's a Russian judge this time.
You know, I enjoyed it. It made me laugh, but. You know, still to me, you know, it's not my favorite genre, but it was probably the funniest horror movie I've seen since Army of Darkness.
In communist Russia, they don't make horror movies. They are horror movies.
So we're going to switch to House of Cards, episode 4, or whatever it's called. Four. And
Chapter 4.
Chapter 4, chapter and four. Handing over to James.
Okay. This one, you know...
This is a transition.
I unfortunately got to say, you know, this is... I'm not excited to see the next episodes.
I am.
This one was a setup.
This one was a setup, and yep. It was actually a good setup, but it still wasn't enough to make me be like, I really want to see the next episode yet.
See, I want to see it solely based on the chick. At the reporter.
Where'd she end up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, after.
Ryan?
I don't know.
What are you saying, Ryan?
You know what I learned watching this episode?
What's that?
Chapter. I don't know enough about politics. But I've realized that if I turn this into like a Game of Thrones kind of thing, like, okay, now I just got to know the characters and just pretend that it's fucking Middle Earth or something like that, that, you know, I might actually learn what House Majority of something means eventually.
Or the Speaker of the House or what
he
does.
Yeah, exactly. You know, just sort of the pecking order of all this shit. Be like, okay, and so that's the Jaime Lannister of the United States government. Got it.
See, the reason why this I like the show and hate it at the same time is because to me, this is how politics actually seems. Even when I think you had Bill Clinton, I think at one point in time, and say, yeah, that's about 99% accurate. I'm like, oh, jeez.
Yeah, unfortunately, it is.
It's like high school.
And I mean, the thing that I got to go with, I can't think of the guy's name right now, but Senator Paul, something like that, the guy, the bald haired guy that did the drugs. Anyway.
Right.
His whole thing of, you know, he's got to shut down the base.
Right.
And that's 12,000 jobs versus 3,000 jobs in another district just to play this game.
Well, that'll teach him to go around with whores and do drugs.
It does.
And let somebody know.
And I do agree with Kevin Spacey's character of, you know, it's I'm going to make it hurt. And he's right. He's right. If you're going around with whores and drugs and getting away with it and blah, 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 blah. Yes, it should cost you something. But it's not just costing him something. It's costing all these other thousands of people's jobs. And unfortunately, it really is how politics works.
I would think so. I think it's very much like this.
And the other thing is, I don't remember too many like Zach Morris moments in this one.
They were very quick and subtle.
Unlike the rest of the one, two, and three, where they were really heavy
they're
and
in your
fairly
face.
Long. This, mm-hmm. it might have been a short, you know, pause or timeout or whatever. And so next week we're going to do chapter 5. Is that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Chapter 5. I'm never going to get used to what they're calling this. So I'm going to stick with episode 5.
Cause... Oh, and Resident Evil, I give 3, which is high for the Resident Evil scheme. Yeah,
trust me, it is. That's the highest rating he'll ever give one of those movies. So next is movie news. And do you have any, James?
We were discussing Ryan Gosling when we started this thing. And hopefully, you know, that John is looking forward to possibly a Ryan Gosling film at episode 201.
Kill me with
and
a
so we're
going
to discuss another one. Disney has a way of milking a franchise that they own, like
Pirates of the Caribbean,
like freaking milk. And what they're doing this time is they're relaunching the Haunted Mansion with Ryan Gosling. Now, hold on.
So the one with Eddie Murphy wasn't enough.
Yeah. Now, the thing that perks me up at this is Guillermo del Toro is going to be putting this one together.
Wait. So is he producing or is he directing it?
I looked at it. I didn't read it that far. But, he's going to be unveiling the project at Comic-Con. Or he did. What's going on here?
He's looking at that. I have to admit, if Guillermo del Toro's in it, I'm interested now.
Yeah, well...
He's one of my favorite directors.
He unveiled the project at Comic-Con 2010. Del Toro did. Hmm. I hadn't heard about it. It snuck underneath my radar at that point. But Disney has been putting it together, and they're going to base it off the ride. So I'm wondering if the ride is going to be switching... Like they did with Pirates of the Caribbean, to the point that they're going to be putting animatronics and probably Ryan Gosling's little face in there and voice. And
if that's the case, they're going to be people defacing it,
but
or trying to make out with it.
The thing that's interesting, and this is what was based off of Del Toro's thing unveiling back in 2010, which is 5 years ago for you people who can't do math, you morons, is Del Toro said... Sorry, did you say to mute me? Sorry. Is that the script is not going to be a comedy.
Really? It's going to be serious?
Yeah. According to Del Toro, so
I'm actually
kind of interested. The only thing that has me apprehensive is Gosling. What do you think, Ryan? Gosling can act.
It depends on the notes that he's going to get during the production of the movie. I mean, and I know Disney sort of is kind of hit and miss when it comes to sort of letting their directors either go off on their own and, hey, we trust you to do this, or
yeah,
we have a really specific vision in mind for what we want this property to be at the end. But Del Toro's the type where they probably would let him go. But, I mean, he has gotten kind of lofty when he did, you know, stuff like you know, the screenplays for the recent Hobbit movies and stuff like that.
And Pacific Rim, which wasn't really an American... Yeah. The Pacific Rim, I specifically think, wasn't really an American... It wasn't really for American audiences, even though I like it now.
Yeah, but the thing I got to say about Del Toro is Del Toro has a capability to make a film amazing. And
well, at least a spectacle.
Something
really visually amazing.
Yeah, something that you take notice of. But his last horror film was a letdown to me.
I don't know if I would say it's like, because to me, Michael Bay is a spectacle. Guillermo del Toro, I don't know, somehow just spectacle doesn't fit him to me. To me, he seems better than a spectacle.
Yeah, but I think
he's a spectacle in sort of another, maybe like another way. I mean, you know, Michael Bay's all explosions.
Yeah,
it's the same thing. They still have it's just a style for what they do.
Yeah, they'll definitely give you that. On the positive side, from what they did with the original Haunted House movie, there's nowhere to go but up.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
That movie was so bad.
And I thought it had potential, but once you throw Eddie Murphy into it, it's gonna go downhill, I gotta say.
Fast.
I mean, I there are some Eddie Murphy films that I can say I didn't despise, but you know, it's not, I don't expect much.
I don't think he's made a good movie since the mid 90s, I'll be honest.
Yeah, but
and that's being generous, by the way.
Yeah, the last little bit of news, and I'm surprised that John didn't mention it, but Geoffrey Lewis passed away 2 days ago.
I didn't hear about it. Who is he?
He's been in like a bunch of different movies. He's worked a lot with Clint Eastwood. What IMDb said he's known for is Devil's Rejects, Double Impact, and Maverick, which aren't the greatest things.
Double Impact, that's Jean-Claude Van Damme, right?
Yeah. But, you know, I was looking into his career, and he's got some actual pretty interesting little things that he's done, and it seems to me that he was one of those kind of like father figures or neighbor figures that that he plays. He's got like 219 films to his name.
Like was it Wilson from Home Improvement type of
yeah,
character?
Yeah, kind of like that is what it seemed like. And I'm trying to pull down to his beginning stuff. But he worked with Clint Eastwood on a few of his movies. Like I said,
Westerns?
Way back. Yeah, no, it was more of his war movies. And I'm trying to
get to
it. I should add that up earlier. Where is it? But yeah, I was surprised you didn't have that one up.
I'll be honest, I didn't see that come on any of the sites I normally go to, so I'm kind of surprised. And so we're going to switch from movie news to something that I've been waited with bated breath to hear what Ryan's going to pick for next week's movie. So Ryan, you're up.
Okay. I had it narrowed down to like 8 different things. I ended up having to settle on Cannibal Holocaust. No, I'm kidding.
I'm down.
I know you are.
You got to see the look the old guy just gave me.
I think you made Rob just quit.
it definitely would. He would never. He would never want to do this.
Matter of fact,
I ended up on something disturbing because it's hard to find something that's original, especially something like Cabin in the Woods. But I went back a couple of years and went to 2008 to a foreign movie, which they ended up remaking here in the States, called Let the Right One In.
Yes. And we're not doing the remake, right?
The Swedish one.
Good.
Or okay. Whatever okay, country good. It came from. I think it's...
They do come with subtitles and dubbed.
It's got...
Swedish.
It's got a low rating already on its way.
This is going to be interesting.
So I think John's seen this one for me.
You will not have it's fun.
What'd you say, James?
I think you might have seen this one because of me.
So it's called
Let the Right One In.
It sounds familiar, and I've probably seen it because of
not you. not the English version. I think they did the remake, 2 years after the original? A year?
Pretty soon after.
Yeah.
And so, jeez. So, ladies and gentlemen, I gave the movie Cabin in the Woods a 3 out of 5, 3.5 out of 5. James gave it a 4.5 out of 5. Ryan gave it a 5. Rob gave it a 4 out of 5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Next, we're doing the Swedish version of Let the Right One In, along with Chapter 5 of House of Cards. And as usual, we'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Or not. We'll be right back.